Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. Today we're taking you back to the 1980s and life in Romania under the dictatorship of Nicolae Ceausescu. He ran one of the most feared secret police networks in communist Eastern Europe, the Securitate. Monica Whitlock has been speaking to someone who lived under its scrutiny.
It's the 1980s and Carmen Bugan is growing up in her village near Tecuci in northern Romania. Ceausescu is just a voice on the radio, a photo on the classroom wall, nothing to trouble a childhood full of sound and colour.
You will hear loads and loads of birds, sparrows, pigeons, and they had the chickens, like the world never slept. I have these images in my head that stayed with me, making the jams in a yard in the big pans, so that the whole yard smelling like burnt sugar and fruit. The sound of the chain on a well and the plop, you know, when you go to get the bucket, when it hits the bottom of the well, it goes plop, and the smell of the rust from the chain, all wet rust on your fingers, and it makes your hands all rusty. I love that. And my grandmother always talking from one story to another, from one story to another.
It was a Wednesday, March the 10th, 1982, when Carmen's world shattered.
When I came from school, the house just filled with police staff and secret police staff. They filled the house with microphones. I saw them installing microphones all over the garage, all over the living room. They settled themselves in our armchairs and they started smoking my parents' cigarettes. They started drinking my parents' coffee. I couldn't really understand the horror of what just happened to us.
Ceausescu's secret police, the Securitate, had descended. Carmen didn't know it, but her father, Ion, had gone to the capital, Bucharest. Ion was an ordinary fellow, a TV repairman, but he'd done something extraordinary. He'd driven his car around the streets, hurling anti-Ceausescu leaflets out of the window. He was angry about injustice and the extreme food shortages in Romania. But this story is Carmen's. That day, her mother was in hospital with her frail newborn brother and her sister away at gymnastics school. Carmen and her grandmother were alone in the house. No one could come in or out.
There was no one I could turn to. My grandfather came because people in a village told him that there's a lot of police at our house and my father had disappeared. And they said, you go away, you don't come back here and you don't take her, you'll find yourself dead in a ditch. They took away all the food. I lived on walnuts and water, 2 or 3 weeks of that. Well, I turned into a skeleton very quickly. There were people in day and night.
Carmen's father was sent to Aiud prison, chained and shackled. You might imagine that the Securitate wouldn't bother with his family anymore. Carmen's mother was at home now with her new baby and her two daughters. But this was just the beginning.
We were ordered to keep the windows, the curtains open, so they can see inside.
All the time?
All the time, yeah, all the time.
For 5 years, the family lived exposed completely to the Securitate. Every conversation was taped, filmed, every movement tracked.
In the days that I went to school, there was an informer walking behind me. You know, I remember his brown coat, I remember his cap, and him just walking and looking at me, and then waiting at the school gates, coming back, and kids laughing, you can't play with us anymore, you can't talk to us anymore. But also the shock of my friends at school saying, what happened? What did your parents steal? And this horror of just knowing that my father is a criminal. I mean, I think that was the worst part.
The family were grateful for the jars of food neighbours dropped secretly to Carmen's aunt's house. But these neighbours were also, each one, interrogated and intimidated, even the village policeman. Informer, informed, friend, traitor, the lines blurred. The whole community had descended into a mad world.
Anything could happen in any day. I would cross the street and a black car would just go speeding at me for no reason. One night, I remember somebody was stomping on a roof. boom, 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 boom on a roof. A violent kind of thing, and you're thinking, the house is going to give in. What is it? It was also windy outside, but we pretended that it was the wind. We said, oh, what a bad wind. And my mother said, come inside the bed. And we cowered under the blankets, and we stayed, and we trembled all night long. The worst part of that is that you didn't know what you were afraid of and what was the reality. My mother also was saying, all these people who followed her from the bus station home, she could no longer tell the difference between trees and people. Everything was moving to her. She would get home completely in a sweat, completely wet.
In February 1988, Jon walked through the door. He'd been released through a presidential amnesty. Carmen was 17 by now, a grown-up.
He would ask for permission to go to the toilet. He would ask for permission to have a drink of water, to go from one room to another. May I eat? And we were crying so much. Our faces were just raw. Of course it's your house. Of course, Daddy, you can go eat. Of course, Daddy, you can have water. Of course you can do whatever you want. And it was, at the same time, was also very difficult for us to make space for him in our lives, because we had lived 5 long years of isolation and intimidation without him, and we had our own stories to tell.
Her father remained under house arrest. He couldn't work and had to report to the Securitate every day.
And there were the death threats coming, you know, in a form of phone calls at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. The phone rings, he picks it up, and he could hear it all throughout the house. You know, the person on there is like, you criminal, I'll kill you, you know. So, you hear this, your heart is going like this, and you're thinking, what can I do now? Who do I hide myself from? We couldn't hide from the windows because we had to keep the curtains open. We couldn't talk because there were the microphones.
The family left Romania as refugees to the United States shortly before Romanians rose up across the country and forced Ceausescu out. Carmen now lives on the French-Swiss border.
Do you feel homesick at all?
No. No, I don't. The rupture has happened very completely for me. It's a wonderful place, though. If I have any place on earth to go back to, it would be there. It would really be there, and it would be my grandparents' house. I found many places in exile that have awed me, but nothing where I felt like, okay, now this is mine.
Now, Carmen, we're 20 years on, and you've just been reading for the first time the Securitate files that were kept on you all those years. It must be in the most extraordinary experience, but how has it changed or filled out the picture that you have of what happened during that time?
They have intimate details down to embarrassing stuff I wouldn't want to talk about. Conversations, fights, what we ate, what time we got up in the morning, what time we went to bed. It turns me upside down. And for them to have that amount of information on simple people like we were, and essentially non-threatening people as we were, that's surprising. I even found the records of the dreams that we had, the transcripts in a secret archives. I found the informer saying, now the family is talking about the dreams I had overnight, and the dreams that my mother had, and the dreams that my grandmother had. It's shattering to know that your dreams are police records.
Carmen Bougain, ending witness, from Monica Whitlock. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.